So last week we talked about John 11, and we're starting a series called Leave No Doubt. We want to look at people's lives where they stepped out in faith and they left no doubt that Jesus was of the greatest value to them. We want to look at times where the Lord moves in a mighty way and he leaves no doubt as to who he was. And last week we looked at John 11, where Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. It's hard to deny who Jesus is when you raise somebody from the dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, that seems to be a fine line that is not easy to pull off. And so let's look this week at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you've got your Bibles with us, or Bible app, or you've got, like I say, Mark 9 memorized. I do not. Mark 9's in my notes. I'm not there quite yet. Mark 9, we'll start in verse 14. Verse 14, Mark 9. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teacher of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. And maybe this is your first time with us, and I want to tell you that I like to read the Bible like it's real, because it is. And so it's really easy for us to breeze by these details, but this sets the stage for the whole next scene. Jesus and some of the disciples are coming up, and they see a scene of chaos. There's people shouting, arguing, there's tension. If you're walking up, maybe you're picking out your cell phone, you're like, there's about to be a fight. It's about to go down. You know, maybe you're placing your bet, so I got money on the disciples. You know, I think they fight dirty. I'm not quite sure. Or you're like the teachers of law, man. Maybe they're like packing a cane under those robes or something. I'll whip some people. I don't know. And so you're pulling up, and there's tension in the room. Some of the disciples are there. They're arguing with teachers of the law. There's a big old crowd around. And now Jesus and the other disciples show up, and now the crowd just starts flowing towards Jesus. They start running at him. And that's the scene we pick up in Mark 9. Jesus, in verse 16, what are you arguing with them about, he asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Yikes. Like, how do you think you feel if you're the disciples right now? You've been arguing with the teachers of the law. You're in front of this whole crowd. And then Jesus shows up and you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. This is embarrassing. This is not going to look good on the resume. You feel a little shame. You feel a little bit of guilt. And so everyone starts running toward Jesus. And you're kind of just thinking, maybe I'll just kind of slink on back here. And so Jesus asks, what are you guys talking about? And the boy's father, above everybody else, your disciples. And you're just like, oh, no. Bless us, Lord. We're so sorry. They've got to be embarrassed. They feel shame. And the boy's father goes off, your disciples couldn't heal my son. Uh-oh. Have you ever stopped to think about in this story, have you ever felt like the disciples? You go, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm trying to do the things Jesus tells me to do. I'm trying to live my way in the right fashion and manner. I'm trying to follow the Bible. And it's not working. That's exactly how the disciples had to feel in this moment. They tried every trick they knew. They'd been following Jesus. That's why they were disciples. They probably tried every prayer, everything they could think of, everything they had seen Jesus do, and they couldn't cast out the spirit. Have you ever felt like that before? You're trying everything the Bible has taught you. You're trying to apply everything you can. You're trying to do the best that you can, and you just get to the end of one of your days, and you go, this isn't working. That's how the disciples felt in this moment. Unfortunately, they've been called out in front of a large crowd. Verse 19, you unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolling around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Y'all, this moment is pure chaos, okay? There's a large crowd that has gathered around. The boy's father is yelling that the disciples couldn't get the job done. Jesus goes, bring me the boy. So they bring the boy to him, and immediately, as soon as the boy sees Jesus, the spirit shrieks, throws him to the ground in front of everybody. He's now rolling around, foaming at the mouth. And in case you're wondering, I don't see that happen most every day. If that does happen in your line of work, be blessed. That's strange. Okay? And so the boy's rolling around, and Jesus, while all this is going on, just looks over the boy's father and says, how long has this been happening? I mean, I don't know about you, but if it's me, like, I'm grabbing the first aid kit, I'm running over, I'm doing, like, you know, chest compressions, getting the defibrillator out, like, clear, you know, shocking the kid, trying to step in and help him. Jesus seems to be in no hurry. Jesus seems to be in no hurry while the boy is just rolling on the ground, foaming at the mouth. His one question to the father, how long has he been like this? And then if you slow down to read the text, you ask yourself, wouldn't Jesus already know the answer to that question? Wouldn't Jesus already know the answer to that question? Why is he asking the boy's father how long he's been like this? Jesus, shouldn't you know? Why are you wasting time asking questions like this? So does it have anything to do with maybe John 11 last week, where he told the disciples things like, I'm glad I wasn't there? Does it have anything to do with maybe John 11 in verse 4 when he says the Lord is going to get his glory, his son is going to be magnified through this? Is maybe he asking this question to remind the boy's father how long this has been going on? Or maybe he's asking